praise God. Let's say, stay standing one more time. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. As we do each and every Sunday morning, the way Jesus taught us to pray, together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. David wrote that. King David in the Bible. Hallelujah. I will sing praises to you among the nations. You tell people about God. Amen. You tell people about the new car you bought. You tell people about the Yankees when they're winning. Only when they're winning, Derek. You tell people good news. How many times have you talked to people about Jesus? You never know who needs to hear the word of Jesus. Amen. Just a good word. You don't have to preach to them, but give them something good. Amen. Hallelujah, because David's telling us it's a good thing to praise God. Amen. It draws people. It draws people to you. It draws people to God. That's what it's all about. Amen. I'm going to ask for something special this morning. I know normally we do prayer testimonies right now. And we pray. And I just want to ask you to pray for our country, pray for your families, because prayer works. Amen. But I'm just going to ask you something. If we can just bypass that and ask you, if you got a prayer testimony this week, to write it down, let us know. We'll put it in the bulletin, unless you've got something you really want to share with us. Because I really want to get into this today. It's a beautiful message. And it's not just a message. It's the truth. Amen. Can I get an amen? It's the truth. And it's the most important truth that we have in this Word of God, in this Bible. Amen. And I want to give it to you the way I studied it all week, the way I put it together. I just want to talk with you. I want to read from the Gospels. I'm going to read from all four Gospels today. Not that they're different, but each person, each one of the four, gives you something more to learn, something more to understand. So when you come to the resurrection and you come to Jesus, you come with more knowledge. Amen. You come with more faith and more wisdom about God. Amen. And I enjoy this message today. Now, y'all all right with me that we just bypass the prayers and we all pray for each other today? And you just, if you got a prayer testimony, like I said, if you got something great to share, we want to know. Now, last week we were at Mohegan Sun with Nancy and Fred on their MDA walk. We went out there. They raised $67,000 last week. So we have a lot to be thankful for today. Amen. Hallelujah. The choice could not be clearer, brothers and sisters. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're believing in God, amen? Your faith. And it says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Listen to what Jesus tells us. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. We believe in the resurrection. Why? So we can be with those who went before us. Amen? Our family, our friends, our mothers, our fathers, our grandfathers, our uncles. We believe in the resurrection because we want to be with them. Be with them where? In paradise. We believe in the resurrection because we want to be with Jesus. Amen? We want to be. To me, the choice could not be any clearer. Is this all there is? Have you ever heard anybody say, this is all there is? In evolution, they believe in evolution, but at the end of evolution is death. Amen? But with Jesus, there's more. With Jesus, there's life. Amen? Without God, there's no hope. In this life, we have to hold on to something. We must choose one path. Are you with me? We have this day. You have this day. Everybody in this room, you have this day to choose. I tell you standing here, I choose Jesus. I choose victory. That's my choice. Are you with me today? How many want to choose Jesus with me this morning? Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Jesus said, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." You got an apple? The apple dies. You have a seed. The seed. You plant the seed from one apple in the ground. It grows what? A tree. And what grows on that tree? How many? So that one seed produced something better than the original. Amen? From the one apple, from the one seed, produced what? More. You, we, me. This is the seed that we're planting in Jesus. Amen? God didn't say to hate your life. He's saying that if you choose the life of sin, he's saying if you choose the life just following every desire that you have, you will lose your life. You will fall into all kinds of death. He said, but if you follow me, I will give you eternal life. Amen? You're the seed. That starts the resurrection. We're going to read later about the resurrection. We're going to read later about what our bodies are in the second coming. Amen? After the resurrection. It's all right here in this book, brothers and sisters. It's all right in here. We're going to share it together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, this is Paul. Stay with me. If Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then my preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith and my faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. Paul is telling us, if we don't have the resurrection, we have nothing. Amen? If we don't have the resurrection, our faith is empty. Amen? He's saying that if we just simply believe in God in this life and there is no other life, then we've done all these things and we've told all these stories and all that for nothing. We've gained nothing. Amen? If the resurrection had not happened. That's what it's all about today. That's what Easter Sunday's all about. It's not about bunnies and chocolates. That's a great thing. That's a good thing. And Easter baskets and Easter bonnets. No ladies wear their bonnets today. It's about you and Jesus. Amen. Say that. It's about you and Jesus. That's what it's about. The resurrection, the hope. Hallelujah. Thank you. Some people think that they're not worthy. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Oh, you don't know the life I've lived. You don't know the things I've done. I don't know if I'm worthy." Let me talk to you about two people for a second. One of them was David. We just read one of David's works out of the Psalms. How many know that David was a murderer? A murderer. How many know he was an adulterer? He lied. He did evil. He did evil in the sight of God. Yet God called him a man after his own heart. Why? Because David had repentance. David had repentance in his heart. Amen? David asked for forgiveness. And you read about Paul. I was just reading from Corinthians. Anybody remember what his name was before he was called Paul? His name was Saul. And he murdered Christians. That was his life. That was his dream life. That was what he was doing to gain fame and power. He killed Christians. Anybody that believed in Jesus, his job was to go out and kill them. And then one day Jesus met him at Damascus, amen? And he gave his life to God. He wrote most of the New Testament, amen? He went out and made churches all over the world, amen? That is Paul. So when you think that you're not worthy because of something you did back in 1975, or you think in 1990 you did something that nobody can ever forgive you for, then you're calling God a liar, amen? Because if it's in your heart and you're thinking about it, that means that you've worried about it, and that means that you've asked for forgiveness. If you didn't give it any thought, that's where the sin lies. Remember we talked about what sin was? Sin was doing things you know are against God and not giving it any thought anymore, and accepting what man tells you is all right and not what God says all right. Amen? That's what sin is, turning your heart away from God. Hallelujah. And I want to remind you of something as we read. These disciples did not simply rely on the written word, but on what they saw with their own eyes. How many people here, and I know Dave's going to smile because we did this before, how many people here have ever met George Washington? But you know that he was here? How do you know that he was here? Because you see it in the book? Okay, that's history. I get it. You know, first president of the United States. Well, how many people here met Christopher Columbus, George? So you never met Christopher Columbus. How about Magellan? Anybody hear me, Magellan? So you never met them, yet you no problem believing that they were on a boat and they came across and they landed here and they did this and they did that. John, Mark, Matthew, Paul, Peter, James, they walked with Jesus. Amen? They walked with him. They talked to him. They probably laughed with him and they cried with him and they probably had jokes with him. They probably teased each other. They ate with him. Amen? They slept with him. Hallelujah. They were with him every day. Are you with me now? They wrote this. They wrote the story for us. They were witnesses. Thank you, Lord. Brother Petey, it's so good to see you today. You made my heart so happy I can't even tell you. All right. Are you with me, brother? Stay with me. This is good. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." If I said to you today that somebody here today will deny Jesus, would anybody raise your hands and say that it will be me? Of course not, amen? But listen to what Jesus is saying. He said, "But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter, not my brother Peter, over here, but my Peter said, "Listen, even if all of you are made to stumble, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, and Peter said, "If I had to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same thing. Peter said, "I will die for you right now." Then they came to a place which was in Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John. Who did he take? Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." And he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will." Jesus was scared in his heart. He knew what he was going to face. If you knew what you had to face tomorrow, trust me, if it was anything like this, you'd be afraid too. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And he said, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Hallelujah. And immediately when he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And And it says here, one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him. They all ran away. How many ran away? All of them ran away. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. That, by the way, according to what I read, was Mark. Somebody cut off an ear of one of the soldiers. It doesn't tell us in that gospel. It does tell us in John. I will just tell you, anybody want to make a guess who that was? Which disciple cut off the ear of the... It was Peter. Peter was still fighting. He was right there. He was going to fight the whole troop. And he cut off the soldier's ear. Hallelujah. According to the book of John, it was Peter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. To a pole, leather straps with metal tips, whipped and beaten. It says that many, many times people who were scourged died before they even were crucified. Listen to what Isaiah says. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was beaten. Hallelujah. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Everything that he took, every whip that he took our sins upon him. Every time they hit him, it was another one of our sins that he took upon him for us. Amen. He was scourged. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You guys are good. Also two criminals led with him to put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, forgive them. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneering, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. And an inscription was also written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, saying, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanging blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering, rebuking him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me. The disciples still didn't believe, amen? The disciples, everybody with them still didn't understand. They think he's going to die up there and that's the end of it, amen? Who was the first person to receive that blessing? It was the criminal who asked for it, amen? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now we know that God, we know that Jesus didn't go to the Father. We read that later. We know that he went to paradise. And if you remember what I read to you about Lazarus, the beggar man who died and went to Abraham's bosom. Remember that? And he was there in a place of beautifulness, a place of blissfulness. And he could see hell. Hell is real, amen? There was an abyss between him and hell. And his boss was there. And he couldn't get across that. He couldn't get near that, amen? He couldn't get the peace that Lazarus had, amen? God said, Jesus said to that man, today you'll be where? Today you'll be with me in that paradise. Hallelujah. So the first man that was saved, the first man who went even before the disciples, was the criminal on the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead and summoned the centurion. He asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought the fine linen, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewed out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jose observed where he had laid. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone for the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked, they saw the stone had been rolled away. Amen? For it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in the long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. Listen to what he says to them. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where we have laid them." Then he tells him this, listen to what he says, according to Mark, "But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now I missed the spot, I apologize for that. Why do you think he mentioned Peter? Why do you think the angel of God specifically mentioned Peter? Because after Jesus was taken in, Peter denied him how many times? And three times. He denied him. Denied even knowing him. To the point of anger, he denied even knowing him. And then it said that Peter wept after he realized what he did. Can you imagine the pain in Peter's heart? He loved Jesus. You could see that he loved Jesus. He loved him with everything that he was. And he realized that he had just denied him. Denied even knowing who he was. Amen? And Peter's heart was so broken, he wept. And you can imagine the pain that he felt. So the angel comes to Mary, and she says, "Tell all the disciples." And who? Because Jesus knew the pain that Peter was in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen the Spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Jesus said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." We talked about the seed, we talked about the apple tree, we talked about your seed being the body, amen? We talked about your seed being planted and you being arise again in resurrection. Not in it's just a spiritual, ghostly body, Jesus is telling us right here, amen? Flesh and bones, amen? Say that with me, flesh and bones. Your hope is for that, amen? Flesh and bones. And did you notice that the doors were locked where they were? The doors were completely locked. They were sealed. You know why the doors were locked? Because they were afraid of the Jews that were going to come and they were going to kill them. So they kept silent. They were hidden. But Jesus came in the midst of them and just walked right in. That tells you something else, brothers and sisters. That glorified body that we're going to have when we're raised up with God, we'll be able to walk through walls. We'll be able to just pass through. And just be there, amen? It's a different life. That seed that we're planting, when you pass away and you're raised up again, is so different than the first one. That's what we believe in, amen? The resurrection. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. Hallelujah. He stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." And they were terrified and frightened, supposing they had seen a spirit. Hallelujah. "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubts rise in your heart?" He said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." He said, "Listen, handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see I have." Listen to this. "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them," and again, brothers and sisters, listen to what you're going to do with your resurrected body, amen. He said, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took and he ate in their presence. Do you understand what we're saying here? With your resurrected body, amen, you're going to eat, you're going to have flesh and blood, you're going to be with people that you love, the people that you've lost, everybody that you miss, you're going to see them again, you're going to be with them again. That's the hope as a Christian, amen? There's so many other religions, I understand, so many other beliefs. Some beliefs say that you keep coming back, and you keep coming back and trying to be better. One religion says you come back and you're the person that, if you did evil in your life, you come back as an evil person. There's so many other beliefs and so many other religions, and so many people call themselves seekers. I want to find the truth. And somebody who keeps looking for the truth is like a scientist. A scientist who looks things up and studies things and discovers something. The second a scientist discovers something, you know what he discovers? There's more to discover. Amen? With each new discovery, a scientist realizes it's not over yet. Hallelujah? I've discovered, I've seeked, I've found everything that I need to know right here in this book. Amen? I follow Jesus because he said, "I'm going to have that." He said, "I'm going to be with my mother and my father." Amen? "I'm going to be with my friends. I'm going to be in heaven for eternity. I'm going to be in paradise with Jesus." That's my belief. That's why I love Jesus. That's why I follow Jesus. That's why I read this book. Amen? It's a beautiful book. John, Paul, Mark, and Luke. It's called the Gospels. Those are good news. And when you do like this study all week long, I went from one gospel to the other to learn a little bit more. And I just kept feeding myself. And the more I feed myself, the more excited and stronger I get. Hallelujah. We have a choice. You have a choice. If you follow him and you love him, you want more of him in your life. And you tell others about him. Amen? You got to tell other people the good news. Amen? You got to lead them somewhere. You got to show them. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. They can see it in your life. Say, "How can you be so happy? You just got a bad report from the doctor." Say, "I know I got a bad report from the doctor, but I didn't get a bad report from Jesus." Amen? "You know, you lost your job. But God says, you know what? I got a better job for you. Just trust in me and enjoy life for a while." How many times have I told you, sometimes you have to rest? You're all working 7 days a week and you're working overtime and you're doing this and you're trying to pay that. And God said, "That's not what I intended for you. I want you to rest. I want you to have peace." So you trust God. That's where the rest begins. Amen? I believe this book. I believe this book at all. I can't read it enough. I can't enjoy it enough. And I pray every week that I get more of you to see that and to want to hunger to learn more about God. Amen? He's not going to change your life. If you like the Yankees, guess what? The next day, you're still going to like the Yankees. If you like country music, guess what? The next day, you're still going to like country music. If you like Elvis, you're still going to like Elvis. Amen? He's just going to give you a life unbelievable. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
I am so excited. I get so excited at church anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. This is John now. And I read John here. John was the disciple, they say in the Bible, whom Jesus loved. It's a story about John with Jesus. And he had his head on his lap. And the disciples were saying, Jesus, why do you love John more than you love us? And Jesus said, what do you mean? He said, well, you let John lay his head on your lap. And Jesus said, no, he's the only one that wanted to lay his head on my lap. He's the only one that wanted to cling to me and love me that way. You call love me that way. John knew Jesus. He loved Jesus. He adored him. He wrote about him. He saw him. He walked with him. Amen? And I'm going to read from John. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and she wept. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She's supposing him to be the gardener. He's God. Said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, listen now, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go tell my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and go to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Hallelujah. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, say that with me, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. Can you read that? I'm going to read that again now. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be to you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus said to him again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Hallelujah. Now, Thomas, called one of the twins, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Sometimes as a pastor, you have to understand, I want you to believe everything I'm saying. I want you to catch on to everything I'm saying. I want you to enjoy everything I'm saying. And some of you might say, well, I might believe it, I might not. And you get frustrated, or you get you want people to be happier. You want people to know that God helps you. Jesus helps you in school. He helps you at work. And you get to the point where I just got to tell people more about him. Here are the disciples, are you with me, are telling Thomas, we just saw Jesus. He was just here. If they won't believe him, I just got to keep telling you and preach the word. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't believe the disciples. Here's Thomas. They all walk with Jesus. How you doing? Good to see you. How you been? Hey, everybody's good. Hey, and they say, hey, guess what, Pat? I just saw Jesus. He was here. And they looked at him like, Thomas said, really? Listen to what Thomas says. Hallelujah. Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Say that with me. I will not believe. And thank you, sweetie. That's good. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the disciples, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. And they said, "No, no, I know you. I know you, Peter. I know you, John. I know you. I know you've been with the Lord. I know you love the Lord. I trust you. But I don't believe you." You see the job a pastor has, you see the job the Pope has, you see the job the priests have, talking to you about God and making you want to believe. And here these disciples are having they're telling Thomas, and he says, "Unless I see the print of his nails and put my finger in the print of his nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." All right. Then after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Thank you, Lord. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, saying, "Peace to you." Do you understand? The doors were shut, and he just came through the doors. Hallelujah. That's what you got to look forward to. Then he said to Thomas, Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Because you have seen me, you have believed." How many here today want to be in favor with God? How many here today want to be blessed by God? How many here want to be in a place of favor? He said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed." And then he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I believe. Can you say that with me? I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe we won the battle. I believe we have victory. Amen? We have victory over the one thing that man fears more than anything else. Death. Amen? I believe that Jesus sits at the right hand of his Father. I believe that when I pray his name and he hears me. I believe that Jesus opens the door to the throne room that I can enter because of what he did on the cross, for the whips that he took, for the pain, for the blood that he shed. I believe that I have that righteousness with the Lord. Amen? I believe. I choose to believe. I haven't seen. I haven't heard him talk to me. People say God talks to him. I said, that's great. I know God leads us and the Holy Spirit leads us, but I haven't heard God's voice. He didn't talk to me. But I believe. Amen. I've seen enough to know that God has changed my life in all my years. I've seen enough to know that God has brought me places I never thought I could be. Doors that were open that I never thought could be open. Miracles in my life that I just give him thanks for over and over again. My brother wasn't supposed to be here past Groundhog Day. He just chose to flunk hospice. Him and his wife celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. There was not one doctor, not one, not one doctor in that hospital that said it could happen. There wasn't one nurse in that hospital that said it could happen. I understood. I believed. I understood what they were saying. But I said, there's still one doctor I haven't heard from. His name is Jesus. Amen? They went to Atlantic City for their anniversary. He drove. The doctors don't know what to say. It's a good thing, Jesus. We lose things that we've had for years, and we think, you know, you had a job. You had a job for 20 years, 25 years. You get set in a job, and everything's good. You're set in your ways, and one day you lose your job, and you think, boy, this is terrible. This is, and Jesus is saying, no. He's saying, maybe you were getting too comfortable there. Maybe it was just you weren't inspired there. Maybe they weren't taking advantage of the man or woman that you are. Amen? Maybe they weren't lifting you up the way I want to lift you up. So God, you say, lose that job, and you look to God and you say, no, Lord, I'm in a good place. I'm in a place where you have to help me. Amen? And when God answers, oh boy, when God answers, it's a circle of goodness. Amen? You understand? When he answers your prayer, it's a circle of goodness. And then when he answers your prayer, you look back and see, oh, I get it now. So every time you say, oh, I get it now, your faith rises, amen? To the point where something happens and not one doctor in the hospital says that something's possible, and I walk out the door with my wife thinking, you know, God hasn't spoken yet. I haven't heard from Jesus yet. That's my walk with every day. I haven't heard from God. You get tied up in the red light, and you get all frustrated. You say, you know, I'm going to give it to God, because maybe that red light stopped me from something really bad that would happen. We saw an awful wreck a couple of weeks ago. We prayed as we drove by it, but we got in traffic. We got in traffic behind two school buses. How many have ever been frustrated by school buses behind them? Amen? We got behind two school buses. Just two. We were minutes away from seeing. The accident just happened. She turned to me and she said, you know, if we didn't get behind that school bus, that could have been us. We could have been involved in that. I believe God for every single thing in my life. I trust God for everything. I talk to Him. I believe the things in my life, the things in my home, the things in our home, we give it to God. Give it to God. Anything, the jobs that we have, the work that we have, our life, our love, we give it to God. And it changes our life. It changes your life. Maybe that's Jesus calling. Maybe not. Thomas answered and said to him, Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Give him praise and glory, church. We read how he was betrayed. We read how he was beaten. We see how he was nailed to the cross. We've seen how he died on the cross. We see those things. We celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate what happened after the death. We celebrate Jesus that brought us the new covenant, the new promise through his blood. The Son of God came to earth, walked among us, prayed among us, taught us, gave us his word, and died for our sins. The victory over death. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Name above all names. You ever have a bad dream? And you're in the dream and you wake up and you're scared. Just say Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Bring him into your room. Just spend a moment with him. Call out to him. And you'll feel that peace that surpasses your understanding. Oh, this Jesus is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dickinson. Oh, what happened? Up there. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And Paul tells us, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes back again. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Give him praise and glory, church. Let him hear you. We can't fill this church up with just laid-back people, amen? We fill this church with joy. We fill this church with people hungry for more, amen? And the people outside will hear, and they will come wanting to know what you found. If you walk around and never talk about it, they'll never want to know, amen? But in this church, we have joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Without Jesus, we don't have the new hope. We don't have the new covenant, and we don't have the new promise. With Jesus, we have everything. Hallelujah. In the Second Congregational, we are blessed where we started from and where we're going. As a pastor, my heart is so happy. I am awe of the people who come to this church, and it's on my duty just to feed you every week as simple as I can with words from my heart. They're not big, long words, and they're not anything to impress anybody except to tell you, God loves you. Amen.